This is CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. It's the second hour of the Gareth Cliff Show. It is 7 o'clock. And what day is it? The fifth of January?
Friday the 5th.
It is. You have survived your first working week in the new year. That's if you are at work. If you aren't at work yet, oh girl, get your luxuriating and chinchilling on some more, because you only have one last weekend before you're all back. Well, thank you so much for having us on. Before we get into the news, let's get into some of your messages, because you always know you can interact with us, right? You can tweet us at cliffcentral.com. You can WeChat us on our official WeChat account. It's Cliff Central. You can Skype us, Cliff Central Studio. You can call us 0861-555-189. Almost commonly, as so many of you are doing this morning, geez, you can WhatsApp us 0797482090. We just kicked off the hour by playing the new song by Bruno Mars, which is actually trending number one on YouTube. It's the Finesse remix featuring Cardi B. And the reason why I think it's actually trending on YouTube is because, like, we haven't seen anything like this, quite frankly, since the 90s. Mm. If you watch the video, they're doing a bit of like an homage to In Living Color. Wasn't that the coolest?
It was.
And actually, like, as a late 90s baby, that's like one of my very first memories.
Are you from the 90s? I thought you were from the 2000s, the millennium.
Carry on with the compliments. I won't stop you. What else do you want to say?
I think that was a compliment.
It is a compliment. That means my moisturizing works. Ben, you always roll your eyes at me
because
when I
really
say I'm going home and I'm
moisturizing. You've really got to prioritize your moisturizing of your character.
Exactly. See, it's working out. How old do you think I am? Carry on. Okay, never mind. Moving on. It's like an homage to In Living Color. The entire music video is set in like the studio, very similar to the TV show, and also the outfits that they're wearing. And so it's very interesting when Vince on WhatsApp says, the song that just played sounds more like one of Bobby Brown's hits from way back. And
yeah,
it really does. The sound, the look and feel of it overall.
But you know, like, Bruno Mars has a way of doing that, though. He does, I wouldn't say it's plagiarism, but he takes influences, and he's openly said as much. He takes influences from various things, from various genres.
Yeah. And the success of it is the fact that, of course, if he was doing this in the 90s, everyone else was doing this. But now he's the only one doing this. It's like a bit of a throwback. Art's kind of cool. That's why we were all 24 karat magicking around.
Exactly. Because we're programmed. We're wired to like that.
What's that other Versace on the Floor sounds very old schooly.
But most of his stuff sounds very old schooly. Like, he's really good with doing that.
Early Michael Jackson days, like She's Out of My Life and
TLC vibes as well. Yeah. He's got all of that going up.
Okay, Bruno, we see what you're doing. Who said earlier that they wanted to try singing or something? They want to get into the music industry.
It was you, but I said that earlier.
Yes, you want to get into the business.
Because of the money.
That's it. Yeah. So you just need to create a 90s song and then you'll be good. Kabelo on WhatsApp says, Ben, so sorry, Serena. So Serena Williams will not be defending her Australian Open title. Yep. Says she isn't where she needs to be fitness-wise. Huge loss to the tournament, but it makes sense. And on that same note, someone else who's nameless on WhatsApp says, Serena Williams is not playing an Australian tournament because there is, I'm directly reading, but I'll also grammatically change it, because there are too many bloody stubborn flies. Those fucking things follow you all day long trying to climb into your ear. Fuck, I hate flies.
Oh, wow.
Do you know, sometimes I just wish we had a name and we had a picture of who these people are.
It's the insights that count. Thank you for that. That's
like,
brilliant.
Wow. Out of everything you got from Ben's sport report, you sat there thinking, fuck, those I hate flies. Okay, that's a feeling. That's one thing. Someone else on WhatsApp who did not leave their name wants to ask Sinazo, please explain the hand in the cookie jar with the Guptas. You are making very wild statements here based on racism, they say.
Well, Helen Ziller, it was a known thing and it was written all over media, had a interaction with the Guptas and she received money from the Guptas. It's not an allegation. It's something that...
No, I think the hand in the cookie jar phrase, I think, maybe threw it off. But you're right.
Okay.
There was party funding from the Guptas.
That's and exactly Helen Ziller was in the forefront of it.
Exactly.
And actually, some DA members did not even know about the what was happening. So you can't say it's the whole DA. That's what I get away from. That's why I call out Helen, because she was,
it was her
in
call.
The forefront of that.
But this is the murky business of politics, because they all say, oh, this family is terrible. Yet these parties need money, because it's not like they really know how to make money. So they need handouts. And the Guptas and other people like that, they
and
go...
And she accepted the money.
Exactly. That's why they become pawns, because they need money.
Exactly. So you can't say that it's not founded. She was leading the DA when all of that was happening. So they received money from the Guptas, and they call out the ANC all the time. And it's, for me, even if you're talking about the ANC, you have to call out individuals, because some people in the ANC were not even aware that all of this was happening. The same way not everyone in the DA was aware that Helen Zille was, you know, in the forefront of this Gupta scandal for the DA. So, and, you know, I'm from the Nelson Mandela Bay, and I was a journalist, and we were running these stories of racism in there. There were infights where even some members broke away. Even Bengu, Ngaba Bengu, came out calling out the DA in the Nelson Mandela Bay on racism. We had Mali also. There was a huge thing with him and Ethel. So it's not a hearsay thing. I'm guessing all of this. No, it's not a guess. I was a journalist there, so I know we interviewed some of them. So it's not a, you know, we just coming up with stories.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with question answered.
Question answer, case closed, book slammed, curtains down. That is it. Okay. And another message here. Good morning. It's on our WhatsApp. And of course, you can message us 079-748-2090. The message on WhatsApp says, good morning, Ben, Sia, and Snazo. Snazo, you are a very intelligent and seem like a nice woman, but you do not know anything about Israel. Okay, so this is from Wednesday.
Tuesday.
See, podcast liberty forever, huh?
One of the days of the week. People will directly quote you. They will reference that day that you have seemingly forgotten from September 19, 2014. Okay. Anyway, they say your facts are... Here's the thing, Ben, I now know what you experience here.
The big words.
It's just sometimes off and the grammar's off. I'm going to directly read and y'all just try to make sense of it, okay? Your facts are very mistake. Israel is not the only democratic country in the Middle East with Arabs who are high court judges in the parliament, in the workplace like Jews. There's no oppression of Arabs by Israel. The Israeli government threat all their citizens properly and give them the same rights. The only people who oppress people there are the Arab or Palestinian leadership to their own people. Sinazo, if you want, they are reading here. Sinazo, if you want, I can send you YouTube videos with Harvard academics.
He added quite a lot to my words.
Explaining the situation. The floor is yours.
Okay. I feel like he added quite a lot of things we didn't even really touch on. What I said was there's oppression in Israel, right, of the Palestinians by the Israeli government. So Arabs and all of that, I didn't even touch on that, but I'm just saying the Palestinians are oppressed by Israel. That's why they are campaigning saying free Palestine, right? So all of that. Thank you for the reading material. I'll go look at it. I will read it and then come back to you with some more information. But I'm still for free Palestine. Free Palestine. Like, I'm not going to say because you're for Israel and say, no, Israel, the Israeli government is okay. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And I'm not going to sit and say because a listener is arguing with me and then retract my statement. I still don't support the Israeli government because of what's happening in Palestine with the situation.
Okay.
I won't retract it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then commenting on your earlier comments, someone on WhatsApp says the DA received 100,000 rands from the Guptas.
It's still money.
It was refunded when the allegations of corruption came out. So hardly comparable.
I didn't realize it was refunded.
I didn't also know that one, but we're not comparing it. That's the problem. I think they're not listening. We just said they did it. We didn't say we're comparing it. So clear. You must listen so that
you know. The art of listening may never happen to the human race. But it's a decent bit of feedback on that.
Yeah, but we didn't say that. I'm not comparing it. I said they had also received money. Whether they refunded it or not, I'm going to have to go research that. I didn't know that part.
Okay. Thank you. It is a very delightful morning with many opinions on every scale, on every side of the scale. So moving on, we know our dearest Cape Town, geez Louise, they are really having a moment and a half with this water crisis. Ben, what is this clip here?
So there's this pretty good vlogger. He's called Wannabe Vlogger.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a few videos around the water crisis in Cape Town. And it's just a very frank kind of take on some things that we should know about. So he released a video this week, and it's got to do with where the water is actually going, the water that is there. So if you go up to, I think it's the Steenbras Dam. So okay. If you go towards Hermanus, go to Solaris Pass, I could be mistaken here. There's a massive dam. And when you see these pictures of these like sandy plains where there used to be water, that's where they are. So him and Sivengezi is actually on this as well. They talk about the fact that a lot of water is being diverted to farming rather than the city. And there's a bit of a question around this because you think,
is it a question of priorities?
Well, I guess so. There's a thing about ethics, but also what's the things that we eat, the things that we consumed on a day-to-day basis, how much water goes into it. Mm. Again, this is a take. I'm not saying this is the balanced or anything like that.
Okay.
But this is the great thing about watching people on YouTube is that they do present facts, they present things. So give us a listen. On YouTube, Wannabe Vlogger.
Cape Town is in the middle, or even the end, of the largest water crisis it's had since records began.
And we're here at Teeuwaterskloof Dam, one of the major water supplies. And we're here to debunk a rumor that millions and millions and millions of liters of water are being purposefully released downstream. Millions.
And guess what? It's true. The Department of Water and Sanitation have had their sluices open since the 1st of November, and there's no plans to close them anytime soon.
So wait a minute, we have a water crisis and they're releasing water downstream. The reason is very simple. Farms.
So what does that mean? That means that 60% of water in this dam is allocated to farms. So that poses a very big ethical question. Farms versus humans. Because Cape Town has 4 months left of water before we run dry.
Farms support the South African economy and provide food and jobs.
Yeah, but think about this. Are you ready to have your mind completely blown? One cup of coffee takes 836 liters to make or grow or however you want to see it.
Guys, that is 10 days of water rationing. 10 days. Like, listen to this. A kilogram of chocolate is 17,196 liters of water. 150 grams of chocolate takes 2,580 liters of water. That is ridiculous. Moral of the stories, ladies, stay to this chocolate.
2,580 liters of water for that chocolate. That's 30 days of your water rationing. Think about a kilogram of cheese. That's 3,178 liters.
That's 37 days of water rationing. What about one egg? One egg, that's not even an omelet. That is 196 liters.
That's a crazy 2.28 days of your ration. That's one egg. A kilogram of chicken, 4,325 liters.
That's 50 days. 50 days for a bunch of chickens. What? No, my people, less chicken, please. But here's the real kicker. Listen to this, Mamela.
A kilogram of beef takes 15,415 liters of water to produce. So that means every time you eat a quarter pounder, that's 1,741 liters it took to have that quarter pounder.
Finally, vegans make sense. That's 20 days. 20 days of water rationing. What the hell is going on here?
And I don't know what the hell's going on, to be honest.
You know, honestly, I don't care if it takes 150 million liters of water to make a single egg. But if we had that water, that'd be cool. We don't have that water.
And I guess that's really the question is, should that sluice be open? Guys, let us know your thoughts. Leave your comments below.
Jeez. Wow. Oh my goodness. That's actually kind of eye-opening.
It
I
is.
Did not. Well, like, I don't think we think about this.
Wow.
I certainly did not know this.
Look, the thing about statistics and figures is that you can use them to really, like, boost an argument. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a balancing around the numbers. But it is true, though, because the amount of water that goes into farms. And the That's worst crazy. Thing is that if we are... Nothing about farming, talking about ethics and stuff. If a lot of the stuff is being exported, we're not even getting the products that all our water's going towards.
Actually.
So if you're farming for profit, you know, like we're all being restricted, okay? So we can't have swimming pools, we can't level 6 tells us all about the different things.
Sure.
But if you're farming to create food for the country that's experienced this problem, fair enough. But if you're only doing the farming to export the stuff, then that's water wastage, is it not?
It's different.
I mean, I know this sounds very communist Russia, but...
No, yeah. I get it.
Because I was like, oh, farming versus people. But if you're farming for the people, it's different. Now, if you're talking about the exporting of the goods, then it becomes a different argument.
Yeah. All I was thinking as I was listening to this video as well... I don't drink coffee, so I'm not part of the problem there. I don't eat meat, so I'm not part of the chicken or the beef problem.
Yeah, look
so that one bath that I took on the Cape can totally be overlooked because y'all be all up on that beef, that chicken, that coffee.
But I think like a less sensational takeout here, a more logical one is, it's just the importance of water. It's like, we're not going to stop eating chicken. We're not going to stop eating eggs or cheese or chocolate, whatever it is. But... It's like, oh my gosh, there's so much water we need as humans.
There is.
Like, it's absolutely crazy.
I didn't even realize it's that bad.
Yeah.
I think maybe this might also be a bit too fluffy and in the clouds, but I'm grateful we are at this point where we are educating ourselves regardless. Even if we
don't. Some of us are,
Hopefully more and more and more. And even though we hope we don't reach day zero, but as long as we still learned. Yeah. And, you know, somewhere out there, there might be people who actually say, we don't actually need to use so much more water. You know, let's actually start taking the grey water from the house and using it outside in the garden.
Yeah, we should do.
You know, instead of using sprinklers every day.
But people are pricks. In times of excess, they believe, well, that's it.
But let's hope we're all learning more, we're growing more, we're making better decisions.
Good point,
when I was in grade 3, I had a great teacher, Miss Rawlins. We used to plant outside. We had like a little garden by our classroom.
That sounds like child slavery. Are you sure you were at school?
No, it was so fun. Okay. And we had like these funny veggies.
Mm, yeah, but mom, what did I do? Do you know what I did at school today? I pushed a wheelbarrow.
Do you know how we used to water some of those plants? We used to bring our compost, like if you have veggies and stuff like your old fruits and stuff, and you'd make your own compost. But also, we were taught that you take your bathing water and you actually water your plants with that instead of using fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
It actually saves a lot of water. And also, something people may think about, especially in the Cape, if you're like Sia and you like taking baths, you know, use that water actually for the toilet afterwards.
Well, it's so true. If you want to know, you want to understand how frivolous water usage around like a flush, go out and buy 18 bottles of water. Little 500ml bottles, put them in the toilet next to you, and that is a flush of your toilet.
Does putting the brick in the, what's it called?
In the cistern.
Cistern. Does that work? Because that's what my sister has done.
Well, you're displacing, so obviously the weight of the brick correlates to the amount of water, so less water will go to the cistern because the brick is displacing.
Okay. Is that not enough of a difference?
Anything you're doing is a step, is a worthwhile endeavor.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. But there's ways that you can start preserving water and you don't have to waste water. And we were taught this when we were still little, but we excess what Ben was saying because we had so much water, no one was thinking about this.
Yeah, it's never a problem.
It wasn't a problem. Now it's a
problem. Water was never going to be something that would run out.
Exactly.
But with the way the weather's changing right now, who knows what the next 50 years is going to bring.
Our little town actually also has a problem or had a water crisis.
Which little town?
Matatiel.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's in the mountains somewhere. But we actually didn't have water. They turn off water sometimes for 2 days, for 3 days sometimes.
Sure.
So it got that bad. It got that bad. So we had to find ways of actually saving water. because we realize that we don't have water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's creating a culture. It's creating an aware and educated and informed culture. Yeah. That's what we need to
But also just like we as humans should have a more informed, educated standpoint of what we do here. We're not just frivolously killing things and excess and just sex and everything else.
Yeah.
I understand what we do.
You who still has their water feature going.
Ooh.
We are looking at you right now. Okay. Oh. Before we carry on with the news, I just want to give a little shout out to our friends at Touchbase Pro and just listen to some of their clients who have signed up and work with them. So the likes of Daily Maverick, the likes of the SA Guide Dogs, Momentum, JSE, the Cancer Association, One Day Only, and Imperial, and of course the cool kids at cliffcentral.com. If you want to be part of the list, how about you book a demo with Touchbase Pro? And they'll share their screen with you. You can see for yourself. And there's no commitment on your side as well. If you're all about communicating better with your clients and also your audience as well, then Touchbase Pro is where you need to be. Visit them on www.touchbasepro.com and click on Book a Demo. So let's continue on with the news. Sinazo, how about we go over to you? A few news stories.
Okay, so in our news this morning, class of 2017 achieves a 75.1% pass rate. The matric class of 2017 achieved a pass rate of 75.1%, which is up from the 72.5% in 2016. The 2017 matric class results were announced by Minister of Basic Education, Angie Motshekgo, yesterday in Auckland Park, Johannesburg. Even though Free State dropped by 2.2% for last year, it remains in number one spot by being the best performing province and achieving an 86%.
Sorry, didn't catch that. Which province?
That is the Free State. It dropped by 2.2, but still maintains.
Free State's the best.
It was the best as well in 2016. It was.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
And
pleasantly surprised there.
Are you? In 2016, they were number one and they maintained that position. So Gauteng also achieved a high pass rate at number two with 85%, which is the same as 2016. And the Western Cape declined by 3.2% from 2016 and scoring an 82.7% pass rate. And even though the Eastern Cape and Limpopo saw some improvement in their results, they still remain the bottom two provinces. Eastern Cape achieved a 65%, an improvement of 5.7% from 2016, and Limpopo a 65.6%, which is up by 3.1 from 2016. KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Mpumalanga achieved above 70%. So those are your results for 2017.
Well, congratulations to the class of 2017. It's still very interesting to me when we look at IEB results and compare them to NSC.
Yeah,
that there'll always be a dip when it comes to NSC, unfortunately.
It is the truth.
And I still don't know what the case is. Is it the case of, well, IEB just has...
It's curriculum.
Is it a better curriculum? Is it with more private schools and just and generalizing there?
Well.
It's like better resources and the teachers are better or whatever the case is. It's always interesting to me.
It's curriculum. Remember, IEB uses international standards when it comes to their curriculum, and also because most of them are private schools, they've got better resources than most government schools.
Oh, sadly so.
It is the truth.
But Free State, what are they doing right?
Free State, they have actually the number one best school in the country, which is Grey. So...
According to whom?
According to the rankings. What do you call them? Those rankings. Best schools in South Africa.
Many, many moons ago, I was in the number one boys school in the country.
Which was?
I would just like to officially state. Okay. It was the number one boys.
What, for a social?
In general, according to the 2009 Sunday Times Schools Survey, we were at number four nationally, and then we were the number one boys only school in the country.
Okay. Most schools, school though, most of the Westville top 10 schools.
Boys High School, please.
Durban.
Yes.
Oh, really?
See,
my brother's in number. My brother's school was number 5. It was just after yours.
We don't care about number 5. We care about number 4. Thank you. We are in the top 4.
It was a good school. He almost went there. But
what do you mean was? What happened afterwards?
Westville.
Yeah, you said it was a good school.
I don't know anything about KZN anymore. I got out of that province.
Okay, what else is in the news?
So we've got opposition hit the ground running. Opposition parties already already gearing up for the 2019 elections and are strengthening their ties in anticipation of coalition government if the ANC support drops below 50% at the polls. The Democratic Alliance and the United Democratic Front, UDM, have revealed. The ANC, which lost the metropolitan municipalities of Johannesburg, Tswane, and the Nelson Mandela Bay to opposition in 2016 local government elections, will set out its election plan on its January 8th statement in East London. The DA, the EFF, and the UDM banded together to unseat the ANC in huge councils, but they have faced growing pains because of conflicting policies and clashing of personalities. And 2019 is already underway.
Aye, aye, aye.
Do it's going to be interesting, though.
Do we know when the elections are?
The elections, we haven't been given an official date yet, but it's usually in the first quarter. It's usually April, around May. There. Yeah.
I remember, because when 2014 were last year, we had just started Cliff Central and we opened in May.
Yeah.
So I think it was like one of our second weeks
early
and there was an election,
but it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be such an interesting run, because if you look at what has happened with the coalition governments, UDM and the DA have fallen out because of what happened with Bobani and Trollope. So it's very interesting to see if the UDM and the DA will continue voting with each other. But also the EFF, if you remember an earlier statement by Julius Malema, he had said that if they were to remove Jacob Zuma as the president of the ANC and the country, he would consider voting in coalition with the ANC, and because there've also been quite a lot of disagreements between the DA and the EFF in some of their metros, so it's going to be a very interesting run. Because also if you look at the smaller parties like the COPE and you've got your AIC, they tend to gravitate towards voting more with the ANC than, you know, other organizations. So it's going to be very interesting, because the two biggest parties that were voting with DA were the EFF and the UDM. But we've seen in the last year after the local elections quite a drift in thought and ideology and also in processes. So it's going to be very interesting 2019 how it works out. And with Ramaphosa as the new candidate, preferred candidate for the ANC's presidential candidate, it's really gonna shape out how 2019 will come into fruition.
Yeah. Well, also, like, I don't understand how people have been asking me who I'm going to vote for in 2 years' time, because I don't have 2020 vision. Sorry.
Yeah, good ones here.
I just saw that on Twitter. I've been, sleeping on it for a while.
Well done on holding it the whole week.
I really was trying so hard.
Oh, man,
so stupid.
Okay, well, let's talk about some cults. In the latest cult news, Apple will be making you buy a new phone in later this year.
Oh, of course. They
September-ish.
Oh, they've got a new one.
So basically, it's going to be the iPhone XL. You know what that is? It's an iPhone large. X. It's just bigger.
Extra large? Is that what they're going with?
You can have a whopping 6.5 inches in your hands here come September.
Oh, listen, I've handled more, but...
The XL. So they're going to put a really big, extra large Samsung screen into your hand, or Apple, and that will be.
You walked into that one. Sorry.
You walked into that one. Yes. So the current iPhone X is 5.8 inches in your hand, and the big XL will be 6.5. But how much bigger can they really go, Sia?
Oh.
true. Won't that feel like a thing?
Why am I 12 years old this morning? I need to like be serious.
I feel like it's going to be like a mini iPad. Won't it feel like you?
But this is the new challenge, because they probably feel they've done enough with the phone now. The cult has spoken, and they're happy. But what is the optimum size of having an extra big phone? So there's always the plus version that comes out. That's just what they do. All the smartphone manufacturers do that. Yeah. But how big is too big?
For a phone?
Yeah.
But you know, we're just going to go with whatever they say.
Yeah, we are. That's,
we'll complain that's now, true. Like, oh, it's so impractical. No, we can't and do everyone's this gonna next buy it, thing. Though. Yeah, yeah.
But I believe, like, when we were texting with those button phones,
yeah.
I think evolutionarily, in ways of evolution, I think our hands changed as humans, because suddenly
we adapt
every single day. We're doing a feature, an action with our hands we never did, and I think our thumbs. Kids born today are going to have different thumbs to kids born in the 70s.
What do you mean?
Because of texting. Yeah, because of like when we all had the Nokia 3310, the texting. So when we have smartphones with same thing, we're still using our thumbs. But when we get a bigger phone, we're gonna have a wider grasp. So essentially, what I'm getting at here is we're gonna have big webbed hands at some stage, because we have to have 8 inches in our hands at some stages. Yeah.
Well, ideally. My hands have adopted well. That's so bad.
In other cult news, Game of Thrones will officially be out next year. So 2019. Yeah. So the returning.
Why are they making you guys wait?
Eighth and final season. It takes a long time to.
Final
film
season.
This stuff. It'll be the final, and it'll be the eighth season.
Great.
And it will be 2019. So it's kind of like the SA elections. You've got to somehow get through this year, and then you can have it next year.
Oh, wow. Game of Thrones is only five seasons. Why did I think it's been longer?
Eight.
It's 8 seasons.
So eighth is the final one. There'll be six episodes in the eighth season.
Hmm.
But yeah, as there will, some people were already predicting they're going to be like different. It's like new, what they're going to take like a character, and they'll make a whole new series and a whole spin-off and possible movies.
Well, we've seen this with so many different things. I mean, you can have an entire show. I mean, let's just say, for instance, think of some characters here. Let's just say the imp becomes the hero. You can have an entire fragmented series about what he does in the Seven Kingdoms. Let's just say Jon Snow and the Khaleesi do actually have a seven-eyed bastard malnourished child.
Oh, okay.
There could be a whole new series about what they do with the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay.
Let's just
so
say
there could be spin-offs.
Let's just say like the White Walker King guy, he wins, and then that's it.
Hmm. Well, this is also interesting. Someone just sent me this, continuing our conversation from earlier. 2017 actually was a big movie box office and history breaking and record breaking year, because women made such major moves in movies last year. So even in the midst of all of this Harvey Weinstein nastiness, sexual misconduct of it all, the three top grossing films from last year featured women in the lead roles for the first time in decades. So when you think about it and looking at the numbers, Star Wars The Last Jedi had an actor by the name of Daisy Ridley, finished 2017 but at $533 million in domestic ticket sales, just only. Followed by Beauty and the Beast, that stars Emma Watson, and that got $504 million US dollars. And then Wonder Woman, which was directed by a woman as well, Patty Jenkins, and starred Gal Gadot, and that got $412.6 million US dollars. Well, wouldn't you look at that?
How on trend are we? We just talk about things that are happening. They're just out there.
And then it's now predicted this year, looking at 2018, there'll be more female-led films. And major blockbuster predictions are Tomb Raider, a reboot with a new actress, so not Angelina Jolie. Her name is Alicia Vikander. I've never heard of her, but they'll be doing a reboot of Tomb Raider, which just means more money for a studio out there with apparel and action figures and bedding and you name it. And then of course the ensemble film, I'm really, really excited about this. I saw the trailer while we were away on our break for Ocean's 8.
Okay,
No one else is excited.
I will say that seems like a pile of crap to me because it's very much like, so it's like Ocean's 11, but we're putting women in. Like, can't you just make an original movie?
And I know that spin, and I totally get you on that because I kind of echo those sentiments. Because
to me, that just sounds like you're trying to, it's just very contrived.
Yeah, but I just, in just looking at the trailer, I'm excited based on the general content of the movie. It starts.
You sound just like my girlfriend when you say this. She kind of said the exact same thing. I just saw the trailer. This clip looks amazing.
It is. It's Sandra Bullock who stars in it. Rihanna's in it as well.
Rihanna?
Yeah, she's acting in it. I'm telling you, I'm so like that because as the 12-year-old little girl inside, I'm like, oh, and it's based around these girls coming together and they're planning a heist at the Met Gala in New York. Oh, and I'm all about the Met Gala. And Kim Kardashian has a cameo in the movie.
I really need to watch it.
Yes. So. I love Kim K.
Well, she knows all about heists, doesn't she?
That's
not too soon. Come on.
You know it's too soon. That's exactly why you had to say. If you have to say too soon, you know it's too soon. I'm trying to look at the release date for Ocean's 8.
I am so watching it.
Warner Brothers will release the film on June the 8th, 2008. And then we'll probably get it a little later in South Africa. Did no one think to actually release it on... What's the 8th month? Jan, Feb, March, April, May, June, July, August. Did no one think to release it on the 8th of August?
Why? 2018. Oh.
Ocean's 8. Guys, am I like... I sometimes think...
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, I don't know how they've missed that as well.
Thank you. Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm literally...
Maybe you should write to them, Sia.
Well, who do I casually write to? George Clooney, who's one of the producers
on the film as well. You can just DM him.
Oh, sure, because I'm just tight with George like that. Right. Yeah, who, you know. Okay. Like, what do you mean I have George Clooney on my speed dial? Did we discuss this last year about George giving his friends $1 million?
What?
No.
Oh.
Each or all?
Each.
Oh, no.
This guy's such an attention seeker.
George.
I give my friends $1 million. Screw you.
He's generous, George, because he's doing a few of these things. But aren't his
friends rich already? Exactly.
He called 14 of his close friends.
None of which are poor. Rich people don't have poor friends.
No.
They don't.
But there are, in the midst of the 14, he called in like some of his childhood friends as well.
Oh, okay.
He called in a guy who
If you're still known as a childhood friend, it's because you're poor.
That's a guy who actually deserves $1 million. Yeah. He also called in a guy who lived in Hollywood when George first moved to Hollywood. Okay. And he had no place to live in the beginning of his career. And he slept on this dude's couch for a while. So he just wanted to say to the 14 of you guys, you've been incredible friends to me. You have been supportive and amazing. So here's to all of you. And he did it in true, actually Ocean's movie style. He invited them to a dinner and they all sat at a table. Then right in front of them there was a suitcase and he said, all of you open up your suitcase, and there was $1 million in freaking cash in there.
I need to be George
Clooney. We need friends like that.
I'm serious. Like, I need.
And I think the cash aspect and not just like a check or just a proof of an EFT makes it so seedy. What am I going to do with $1 million in cash? But
I know,
in any case,
I know what I would do with it.
The true way. Like, where do you use it? Go to a strip club so that you just have notes? Like,
you just go buy a house cash and be like, I got money.
Who will sell a house to you cash? Because you just look weirder and freakier.
Yeah, and then forget about like would drug have dealer. To investigate.
Yeah, it is a bit 90s actually, giving people cash.
Exactly, yeah.
He's old.
The true kicker of the entire situation was that he actually also paid the tax for each of the million.
Oh,
so
no.
You get the full $1 million and then he covered the tax as well. So that's a true friend, guys.
I think I must join you on this hunt.
Yeah, for rich people. That's why I was excited that we'll have people buying 30 million rand houses in South Africa.
I need to join you, Sia.
Yeah, and also something that George did was tends to also fly commercial, just private, but he'll go, of course, first class. And what he recently did when he was flying with his wife and his twins was that he boarded the plane and then gave out headsets to everyone else in first class to say, listen, here are headphones. You don't deserve to be listening to our screeching kids on the flight.
Okay.
So, you know, like, listen to whatever you want to listen to. And I'm sorry that our kids will be crying on the flight.
I've decided I'm going to marry Rich.
Guys.
See ya. I've joined.
Why are you all so late to this trend? What have I been preaching for so long? Generous George giving away millions of dollars and also giving away headsets to people to not listen to his crying kids. But yeah. Anything else in the news, Sanazo?
Yes, actually. But it's, of course, the higher education story is still going on. Yesterday there was a press conference.
What is the latest on that?
Okay. So this is what's happening, right? So free higher education still on the cards, but only for first year. Remember it said for everyone when the president came out? But
now the terms and conditions.
Yeah, so now they're saying we've got a 5-year plan of how this will roll out. First year students, or the ones who applied, will get free education.
Okay.
Right. And then
do we know as well, sorry to interrupt you, do we know as well what the definition of the free education is? Will you pay for my res? Will you pay for my food?
So this is how it's going to happen. You know how NSFAS has been operating? I'm not sure if you are very, you familiar with NSFAS.
Oh yeah, I'm not really. Yeah, I know how they operate. They give away they give 14 million rands to a student.
Oh, no.
So you have a lit weekend.
Isn't that what they just do for everyone?
No, listen, this is what they do, right? So they give you money for accommodation, they give you money for textbooks, they give you money for registration and also for your fees. So that's how they're going to be operating, and they give you also money for food, so you get a monthly allowance also for food, just to ensure that you've got everything you need in university. So NSFAS worked as a grant, as a loan before, where you had to pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
So now what they're saying is that all of that, you will get it as a grant, so you don't need to pay it off when you're done with school. So they're saying we're doing, it's the same process, and so they're saying it's only for first years now, and they'll take it gradually over a period of 5 years to include everyone.
Is it smart to assume that, okay, so it's being implemented in 2018, is smart to assume that in 2019 it will be for first years and second years.
Yeah, so it
is
will,
that I'm what they're planning?
I'm sure that's what they're planning, to grow with the students. So from first year, your second year, you'll be free. So I don't know what it actually means for the ones who are on NSFAS now, because they are students who are on NSFAS already, and they'll
Does it wipe the slate clean for
them? It doesn't.
Do you think we'll expect them to?
They won't pay
fight
it.
For that.
They will. They have already started fighting for that. There have been, questions on, do they need to pay it? Because if it's free now, you know, why do they need to pay it? But the government's saying they need to pay it so that it can fund this process, better.
Yeah. So there'll always be someone unhappy.
Of course, there will be.
Unfortunately, in some cases as well.
And also carrying on with the story of the free education. I think we said this 2 days ago when I was reading the news, where the EFF was calling for walk-ins.
Yeah.
Right? For walk-ins for people who did not apply for university, which I think is an irresponsible call, firstly, because you cannot say, because there's a process to university. Because if you know that there's free education, you surely knew there was NSFAS. So when you apply for university, you apply for NSFAS as well, whether they reject you or not, but you would have applied.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. So if you're going to stage a walk-in and just walk in, firstly, most of these kids are from rural areas and townships. They don't have money to come to Johannesburg, to Durban, and go to university. That's going to still reject them anyway. So I think when we talk about access to education, especially on the part of activists and political leaders that are saying, no, there must be access to university. Universities have said, we're giving you online applications. And obviously, most of these kids from rural areas and townships can't access online. So what's the best next thing? Is to come up with a solution of saying, how can we help the students that can't access internet and apply, you know, via the the old way, posting, yeah. postage, right? It's to say, let's work with universities and go directly to those students rather than say, use your 500 rand, which you already borrowed from your neighbor and you have to pay back and come to Johannesburg, who are going to reject you anyway. So there needs to be responsibility on the side of organizations such as the EFF. They can't just say students are...
It is so irresponsible.
It's very irresponsible because these kids don't have the money to come to Johannesburg. They don't have the money to go to these big towns and apply because they're going to be rejected anyway in these universities, because universities have a certain quota they can take each year. Exactly. And doesn't mean just because you walk in you're going to get a school.
Yeah.
EFF is being really irresponsible with this call. I understand what they're trying to do, but you need to also take into consideration your people that you're trying to help. You're actually putting them at a worse situation than they were.
Exactly. And then look, think of the upheaval. So then a lot of people don't understand the whole process because no one's educated them on that. Exactly. And then how are you going to have constructive classes if you've got people who are coming maybe on the Wednesday, on the Friday, but then they want to because it's free.
Yeah.
It's just that they haven't been educated on, you're right.
So, and then this cycle of dysfunction is going to continue because...
It is.
Yeah.
And then you'll get more strike action because then people are saying, well, this is what we signed up for. We want proper education. This is substandard.
Exactly. Yeah. And the levels are going to drop. Universities' functionality shouldn't drop because it's free education. There is a process that... And I think government was also a bit irresponsible with how they rolled out this new... education, because it seems like universities were not part of those discussions. Mm-hmm. And that's why now you're finding that the councils of universities are coming and saying, but we weren't involved in this process, so you can't just throw things at us. So really, government needs to also take responsibility, or the ANC rather, because this was something they discussed internally and decided to just throw it out there.
So Nick on WhatsApp ever so eloquently says, but surely the fuckers who fail must pay the money, must pay back the money.
Well, that's like, I mean, in all seriousness, there should also be things like, okay, you'll get free education provided you apply yourself and you get to certain things.
I agree. Think
that if you are going to, in his words, fuck around and be a fucker, then you're not using it, therefore you must pay. And then you're liable because then it's going to be like, hang on a second, I don't want to pay 50 grand or whatever it is this time. I'd rather pay nothing.
So I think that's killing two birds with one stone. We increase the quality of education in this country.
Yeah. It just shows you how rushed this decision was. There's not proper thought to it.
Desperate because, for a desperate man.
You know, because they didn't bring out, I think Nick's opinion... comment there is on point.
Yeah.
There needs to be consequences for those who don't perform the way they need to perform.
I love that. He's so eloquent.
It's not just about it's not just about turning up.
Getting lit. About turning up. Well, thank you for that, Snaz. And let's wrap this hour up, folks. It's a Friday. Good innings.
Yay, well done.
This week flew by.
And Snaz, thanks for joining us.
For the morning.
Really enjoyed those insights.
Yeah.
And next week there's other people arrive who didn't fare so well in the poll we had last year.
True. Because what are we, Ben? Because I need to now print this on my car and put a billboard by my house. Well, we're the most liked personalities.
Yeah, we're the top two.
Top two.
Judging from a poll that was done on December the 31st.
We don't need to look at who's number one and who's number two.
No, or number three or number four. It's just knowing that there's a divide.
Exactly.
And we divide, and I'm okay with
you're
it.
On top.
Okay, you're off to the golf course.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
And I'm also excited that 2018 is going to be the year you find me a rich husband on the golf course. Thank you.
Wow. How exciting for me as well.
Oh, absolutely. This is what you look forward to. So have an awesome, awesome weekend. And thank you so much for stopping by this week.
Thank you for having me.
It's been amazing. And so to you as well, thank you so much for listening. I will confidently go out there and state one of Gareth's favorite interviews. One of, definitely. It is with Jennifer Rush, which was interesting to say the least. So stick around with that. This is CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.